Who wants a bunk bed, Bill? There's never been a better time to sign up for a yearly EPP, Extra Podcast Person membership to Real Ghost Stories Online. Right now, when you become a yearly EPP, you'll get 1 month free membership to our EPP programs. You'll also be able to claim your very own Bunk Bed Bell. Plus, you'll be doing your part to help keep our show on the air.
It's amazing. It's all amazing. We feel so much better.
A show that helps thousands of people worldwide.
Thanks again for providing this outlet and making it so non-threatening.
Feel not so alone with their haunting experiences.
You guys are amazing. We listen to you all the time.
Become a yearly EPP now. Get a free month of our EPP membership and get your very own Bunk Bed Bell.
Hurry though, supplies are limited.
If you're currently a monthly EPP, then upgrade your membership now to a yearly membership and get your Bunk Bed Bell and a free month of EPP membership to Real Ghost Stories Online.
I think it's important for people to be able to have a place where they can share their experiences and validate them because these things are real.
Sign up now to be a yearly EPP at ghostpodcast.com. And thanks for your support.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is. And on today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, a deceased great aunt does not like anyone moving her stuff. A listener shares the story of using a Ouija board to figure out who is haunting. A grandfather's love of football stays alive after he's gone. And could a bad neighborhood be more ripe for a haunting? Those stories and more today on Real Ghost Stories Online. Tony and Jenny Bruschi joining you once again.
Hi.
Hi, and how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm cleaning my glasses. So I can read.
There you go.
Otherwise, it's going to be, I think I need to go and get my eyes checked again here soon. I don't know. That or I was just like more tired yesterday than normal. Today was not so bad. I just noticed yesterday I was reading and even with my glasses, it was like, it's kind of like blurry.
You've had the same pair for 2 years. It's time. Yeah,
maybe. But today everything looks good. Is that how that works? Does it go in and out from day to day?
No, you need to go and get them checked because it's time anyway.
Even if it's not. Like, it looks good right now.
You sway from not wanting glasses at all to being ready for contacts, and they won't let you have contacts.
I know. I would prefer just to do that.
Well, tough. You have to join the rest of us that have to wear glasses full time. Even after having eye surgery, years later, I'm back in glasses.
Yeah, that
pissed me off, but I got cute glasses out of it.
But you can still see better than you did.
Yes, but I'm still not allowed to drive. Yeah, without them.
That's true.
So, you know, yeah, I guess I could walk into a room without them on, but...
Can you see the birds in the trees?
I can, and I can see the leaves move, but I can't mm-hmm. read signs at any distance.
Sure.
And I have horrible depth perception.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I need my glasses.
There you go.
I'm not like legally blind almost. That's almost to the point where I was.
Could you... what was I going to ask? I had a question for you, and it just completely slipped my mind. I don't even know what it was. It was about this very topic.
Yeah.
And then, like, you said legally blind, and then I was thinking, it just, I don't know. Anyway, there you go. Oh, I know what it was. Could you wear contacts if you wanted to, or did they make nothing that would be of sufficient...
I could. My eyes don't tolerate it.
Oh, okay.
That's why we did the surgery in the
sure,
first place.
Sure, sure.
I wore contacts, and then after I had Harper,
mm-hmm.
I got to where my eyes just wouldn't tolerate it anymore.
You have very intolerant eyes.
Mm-hmm. And I am prone to different types of eye infections, which is lovely.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just a safer bet for me to wear glasses, and you kind of like the nerdy look on me.
I do.
So.
And who doesn't like a good eye infection? You know?
Yeah, right.
Who doesn't like it? Hey, I can't do that today. I got a bad eye infection. That's like a great one, I think, because it's almost like it's one of those images and imagery that as somebody gets in their mind like, oh, they're not even going to touch it. It's so much more powerful than just like, I'm sick. I'm not feeling very good.
It's up there with hearing somebody else throw up. It's just that much of an effect on you. And the kind I get aren't contagious. It's not like pink eye.
Yeah.
But it gets irritation in there and it turns all red and it looks like I've got something horrible and people want to go the other way.
Well, it's like a great excuse if you don't want to like do something too. And the other person can't see you if like it's over the phone or something.
It just looks like the kids fart on my pillow endlessly.
It's like I got a really bad infectious and communicable eye disease or eye infection. So I probably will not be making it out to the Sizzler tonight. And you say that and you're out of the Sizzler. You're good to go. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to our first story. Clayton writes in, my house was built in 1977, the first house in the neighborhood in Gainesville, Florida. The previous owners of the house were the grandparents of my fiance. They lived in this house with the grandmother's sister until 2012. When the final living house member passed away. We moved in August of 2013 and immediately started getting uneasy feelings. Not so much as we were in danger, but just a feeling that we weren't alone. You always feel like someone is standing just behind you, about to touch your shoulder. I've burnt massive amounts of sage and tried to ask this person to leave to no avail. So last week we decided to clean out the guest bedroom, which used to be the grandmother's sister's bedroom, and moved around lots of furniture that belonged to her. It dates back to 1918. Apparently, she didn't like that. We went to bed about an hour after we finished, and I instantly started having bad dreams. The only one I can remember from that night is I woke up in the dream, and I see a woman in a pink dress with a black beehive hairdo standing in the corner of the bedroom door, just standing there watching me try to sleep. Once I sat up and tried to focus on her, she came at me very fast, got about 4 inches from my face, and started screaming. I could not make out anything for her eyes except black holes where eyes should be. I obviously woke up screaming, which scared the hell out of my fiance. We've definitely come to get used to the feelings of being watched now. I 100% believe that we pissed off the aunt by moving her bedroom furniture around, but needless to say, it won't be moved again. Thanks for reading my story. I have many more, including the Echovox app saying things like stop and dangerous while I was working on the garbage disposal. Please let me know if you'd like to hear more. I plan to become an EPP soon. Keep up the great work, guys. Clayton, go Gators, he says.
I could see the great aunt not wanting her stuff moved.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's probably what's going on because of the fact that it's also warning him about hurting himself with the garbage disposal.
That's kind of, you know, that's a great idea. I'm going to start opening ghost apps when I'm doing household repair things as well, just to see what it says.
It's going
to
say flip switch and you're going to lose a hand or get electrocuted.
It'll tell me to do the wrong things.
Yeah.
So it almost sounds like it was almost speaking as an anxious person. Like, be careful. Not like, it doesn't sound like it was like wanting to hurt
him. No, it's like how a grandmother or a great aunt would be.
Yeah.
It'd be like, be careful.
Yeah.
That's dangerous.
It'd be like, go in bathtub. Drop in a hairdryer.
Yeah.
Like, what? Why would I do that when I'm just simply trying to change the light? You know, it'd be all sorts of horrible things that would tell you to do. There's a show right there, Home Improvement with the Dead. I don't know what you'd call it, something of that nature. You got to come up with a catchy.
Haunted Home Improvement.
Haunted Home Improvement. And the dead give you tools and tips. Not tools, just the tips. You have the tools.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, and I woke up, I got in there, and all my tools were missing. Or they were, I came into the room, and the wrenches were all like laid out in the shape of a pentagram. And we kept working.
Yeah.
We lost Louis that day. You know, something horrible.
Uh-huh.
You know, and you can really produce that up. Like all the, there is that one paranormal. It's not even necessarily super paranormal, but it was very, very poorly produced. It was, I think it's on DIY. The zombie house flippers or house something. It's like they go into a fixer-upper home, but it's like really bad. The house is like dilapidation state, and then they try and get it back, but they call it zombie house something because they're so bad.
Okay.
But it's almost like, I hate the shows where they really, really make the homes much worse than they actually were. They're like that one in Vegas where it's like Flipping Vegas, I think it's called. They go in there and it's like, and this guy must have been really into UFOs because half the house is covered in aluminum foil. And then there's, and you can tell the producers went in there with magic marker, spray paint, and aluminum foil. And they just try to make the things look so insanely horrible.
Sure.
And it's just like, yeah, anyone who's ever been into a home that's been damaged or, you know, needs repair knows it doesn't look like that.
Well, my favorite is when they take Sharpie or spray paint and they do graffiti on the wall.
Mm-hmm.
But it's magically, it's like not profane or obscene.
Yeah,
it's at like, all.
It's nothing.
It's completely appropriate yeah. for whatever channel is airing it.
Yeah, it's like if it's on HGTV, it's just like DIY sucks or something.
Yeah, no, it's not at all what you would see. If you're going to spray paint something, it's not going to be a wholesome little
yeah.
ditty on the wall.
It's like, is that Mary had a little lamb in blood? That's really kind of weird.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's I do not like overproduced. And maybe, I don't know, some shows they need to do it or they think they need to do it. But I don't know. It's just it just screams of, you know, desperation, and that makes me turn it off right away. But maybe I'm the minority. I probably am, and they probably see, well, the crazier the shit is, the more people watch.
Well,
and that's why they do it.
You can pick out what's produced, and a lot of people can't.
It's getting so obvious, though. I mean, I could used to do it, and like other people are like, really? Yeah. Now it's like, how do you not see that on some of these? You know, because some of it's just so... so out there. I don't know. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Paige writes in, hi, Tony. Hi, Jenny. I'm writing in for two reasons. First, in the episode Past Death, those other episodes whose titles I can not recall, you've expressed an interest in bridges and why they are so haunted. I'd like to point out that throughout history, bridges have frequently been featured in folklore, fairy tales, and fables. They're often symbols for passing into new consciousness. Think the term crossing over. Symbols for overcoming fear or strife, such as three billy goats gruff, and are seen as one of the most frightening hiding places. Think trolls, again, citing three billy goats gruff, since you can see everywhere but underneath the bridge. Coupled with the often mortal danger inherent in both heights and water, I believe there could be an explanation for why bridges are often a conduit for hauntings. My second reason for writing stems from the recent episode, Unhappy Camper. You asked whether there were any stories pertaining to haunted trailers or campers. The story is my uncle's story. My father lived in a trailer in Florida in the 1970s. Once he moved to Colorado, he had no need for the trailer and sold it to his younger brother. My father never experienced anything in that trailer. Uncle Dave, however, noticed signs of paranormal activity almost immediately. There were also small things at first, cupboard doors open when he knew that they had been shut before, small things out of place, activity increased. In the living area of the trailer, there were two lights hanging, sconce lights hanging by decorative chains from hooks in the wall. Uncle Dave would see them inexplicably hanging at right angles, parallel to the floor. He'd yell, cut it out, and the lights would swing down to their proper places as though someone had simply dropped them, allowing them to swing freely from side to side. Uncle Dave also kept scuba gear in the trailer, which would hiss every so often, as though someone was allowing air to escape the tanks, only for the hiss to stop abruptly, only to start again. Hiss, pause, and hiss. Again, a simple cut it out caused whatever it was to stop pestering. One evening, his neighbors came to him, concerned. They had heard violent banging from their trailer all day while he was at work. Unconcerned, Uncle Dave walked into the trailer to find all the cupboards opened. As he often was out late at night, he would attempt to leave the outside light on so he could see when he was trying to unlock the door at night. Repeatedly, he would come home late at night to a darkened trailer. He even started leaving himself notes saying he had left the light on, just so he would know he wasn't crazy. It became an everyday occurrence that the porch light would be turned off. Finally, in some form of desperation to know who or what was pestering him, he and some friends got a Ouija board. For once, this is not a cautionary Ouija board story. He was able to come up with the name Lee, the name of a great-grandfather. Uncle Dave followed my father to Colorado soon after that, but it seems Lee didn't follow him. At least not so his presence was known. I have other stories I'll write in later. As soon as I have a little extra funds, I'll become an EPP, promise. Wishing you all the best and creepiest, Paige.
It makes me wonder with a common name like that if they had some other information that still pointed to that being who they thought it was.
Just to be sure?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I wonder how often that is, where somebody thinks, oh, it's just grandpa or something of that nature. But no, it's another person named that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, especially if it's a common name.
Mm-hmm.
There could be, especially back then, I think Lee was a pretty common name.
Yeah. I wonder how frustrating that is for the ghost who just wants to be known, and then they're confused for somebody else. I think that might almost sometimes make the haunting worse.
It's maybe like, that's why he didn't go.
Yeah, it's like, you still don't know who I am, do you? You just don't know me.
You just don't know me.
You get these really weird, like, sounds, like some ghost saying that, and like, no, I don't. And it'll be interesting. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. You got your flowers in today from Bloom That.
I did, and I was very impressed because not only were they your favorite flower, but they were an adorable vase that I really liked, and yeah. The caramels are awesome.
Yeah, they got that Mother's Day thing going on right now. You go to bloomthat.com, B-L-O-O-M, that. I'm not going to spell that. You should know to spell that. .com/ghost. You can get that handcrafted designer vase, and then you get the flowers. We have tulips in ours, which are my favorite. I love the smell. It's spring. It's summer. It's a good one for Mother's Day.
It is.
You also get the free premium designer vase, like I said. It's a great vase. It's one you would have picked out had you. It's not like the chintzy little plastic thing.
No, it's like a heavy-duty round cylindrical.
Cylindrical. It's almost kind of like... I'd say, you know, it's kind of ball jarish, but you know, but not in a jar.
Right.
You know?
Right. It's definitely something I would have picked.
Yeah. Very, very into what's big right now. Mm-hmm. And it's really nice. Then you get the caramel treats as well. A $25 value there. And they were good. They were way to hide them from the children.
They're on top of the fridge out of reach of children.
Anyway, go to bloomthat.com/ghosts. Get that designer bouquet, free vase, and treats. Got to do it quick, though. This special is only for a very limited time for a Mother's Day. So check that out. They are supporting our show, so please go support them. And it's good stuff. I mean, they cut the flowers, and they get them to you very quickly. It's not in a box and shipped from around the world. It's all done in this country very quickly, and your flowers last more than like a day or two, mm-hmm. as some of the other places. So it's good stuff. Bloomthat.com/ghost. So check that out. We should take a picture of you with the flowers.
We can just take a picture of the flowers.
You should do like a real cheesy like face in front, like... We could do a Snapchat with like a weird filter on your face. It could be like a cat or something. I don't know why.
Moving on.
855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Hello, Tony and Jenny. Greetings from Sydney, Australia. I've recently found your show and has quickly become one of my favorite podcasts. It really helps me get through my workday. I'd first like to tell you that I'm a skeptic. I don't believe in religion or paranormal, mind you. This is not to say I dismiss their existence, simply that the current evidence doesn't convince me. Regardless, I do have an experience that could be called paranormal. Although not dramatic in any sense, I hope that you'll find it interesting nevertheless. This happened in the early 80s when I was 7 or 8 years old. I was living with my mother and my aunt in a house located in a newly built neighborhood in a small semi-rural town near Santiago, Chile. Over a short period of time, this house saw the tragic accidental death of my younger brother and the passing away of my grandmother a year later due to a heart condition. Despite this, the house was a relatively comfortable place. Apart from the odd visit from secret police and mad scrambles to burn subversive documents, I had a happy childhood. Or as one could have under those conditions. As a child, I used to be terrified of the dark. Because of this, I would sleep with my mother. Since I had ADHD, I would usually lie in bed for hours in the dark, waiting to fall asleep. And so it happened that one night, as I laid in bed, I looked around the room. Quite a bit of streetlight filtered through the window, giving the room a blue tinge. It was light enough to navigate with the lights off, if one needed to. As I looked to the window, I saw movement from the corner of my eye. Focused on where the movement was, and that's when I saw it. Next to the door, and peering from behind the bookshelf, I saw a humanoid figure. It was short, about the size of a child, and completely black. No features could be discerned except for two glowing yellow eyes. Just to explain, the blackness of this thing was so complete that it looked two-dimensional, as if no light could possibly reflect from it. Strangely enough, despite seeing such a bizarre thing in the middle of the night, I felt no fear. In fact, when this thing saw me looking at it, it tried to unsuccessfully hide behind the bookcase. I remember asking myself, what kind of creature is this? And why is it frightened of me? I mean, I couldn't even throw a punch to save my life. I turned to my mother, who was sleeping next to me, and shook her awake. I said, Mom, there's something next to the door, behind the bookcase. The creature poked its head out as I did this and quickly tried to hide again. My mother looked and said, there's nothing there, it's just shadows created by the streetlights. She went back to sleep. I looked once again to where my creature was, and it was gone. My 7-year-old brain assumed that it must have been an alien, as it did not look like what I thought it to be, a ghost. It wasn't until 3 decades later that I heard the term shadow people. I know that this phenomenon can be explained by, I don't know what this word is. Do you know what this is?
Hypno-gal?
Yeah, something of that nature.
I feel stupid.
Hypnagogia? I don't know.
Gogia.
I've not heard that one.
Let's skip that word.
Explained by something special. But a part of me can't help but wonder, how is it possible that millions of unconnected people throughout the world have had the exact same experience? Now, I live in Australia and have never seen a shadow person since that day. My mother, on the other hand, well, that's a story for another day. Thank you both for the great show and stay awesome.
Well, I'm glad we were able to introduce somebody to a shadow person as far as what they are.
Sure.
I think a lot of people put that together after hearing mm-hmm. some of our stories and wanting to know what that was they saw those years ago.
Mm-hmm. That's an interesting sentence. I'm glad we were able to introduce you to a shadow person.
Well, I just mean in general what they are.
Sure.
Not like, shadow person, meet so-and-so.
Meet Bill. This is a shadow person. He likes to hang out.
He doesn't say much.
Enjoys long walks on the beach and listening to the greatest hits of Rick Astley. That's my shadow person.
He's never going to give you up.
Never going to let you down.
I'm not continuing.
Oh, come on.
No, I'm not.
It's the Rick Astley chain. Chain of hits.
I think our listeners can tell we were into the caramel before we got on
the show. I'm a stranger to caramel. I like to eat it, and so do you.
We're both hyper.
We have some Mountain Dews before the next show. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Of course, you can also write on our website, realghoststoriesonline.com. Hi, Tony and Jenny. I recently started listening to your show about 2 weeks ago. I've had so many awakenings from binging on it on the show at work that I realized my entire family seems to be more sensitive than I realized, and I have seemingly endless amounts of stories that I don't even know where to begin. I want to start with a more interesting story that reminds me of something that was unexplainable at first until I learned what it potentially might be from one of your previous episodes, but I will save that for another time. I did research and have had a couple of pictures that I want to share with you when I decide to tell that story. Anywho, my mom was more of a sensitive when she was younger, but seems to have grown out of it as she has gotten older. Me, on the other hand, I was just the opposite. I remember her telling me a story about a couple that lived in a house not too far from my grandmother, my grandfather's shop. They lived in a small town in North Carolina called Pantego. The couple was very friendly. My mom and aunt, they would steal water from the water pump in the couple's backyard. My grandmother would tell them repeatedly not to go there, but the water was irresistibly cold that they had to get it. A few months went on, and the couple were no longer shacking up. They wanted to become officials, so they got married. The weird thing was that they got married, and it seemed to have disappeared. Well, time went on. It was next to summer, and the time had come for my mom and aunt to go on their water pump run. My mom and aunt had often wondered what happened to that nice couple. They had vanished into thin air, but the home they disappeared from was still all the same. The only difference was it was untouched. No one there to maintain the gardens and bushes in the backyard. Vine plants began to grow over the house, and it made it look extremely creepy. No visitors, no couple. After my mom and aunt snuck in the backyard to get some of the irresistibly cold water, they decided to look into the couple's house through the dusty window. They most certainly didn't expect to see what they saw. My aunt was the first to look as she dusted the window, enough for her face to fit. She backed up in shock and told my mom, "Come on now, we have to go." My mom wondered in curiosity what scared her sister so bad that she's standing there trembling and ready to leave her there alone. As my mom looked in the window, my aunt shouted, "Don't look in there." By that time, it was too late. In the house was a couple dancing in the living room to no music in their wedding garments with no heads. My mom described them to be headless and happy. They didn't seem to notice my mom and aunt in the window, and they didn't chase them when they hauled ass out of there. My mom and aunt told my grandmother what had happened, and she just listened in disbelief. A few months later, the house was condemned, and police surrounded the house inside and out with yellow tape. They found the couple buried under the house in their wedding clothes with no heads. Police had no idea who killed the couple. All they knew was that they were killed a year ago on their wedding night. The same night, a year later, my mom and aunt saw them dancing together. I have so many experiences of my own to share. I often lucid dream and can read and decode dreams. Most of my dreams are premonitions. I notice energy. I'm very empathetic or empathic, and I seem to be rather psychic. And with every generation, it gets stronger. I have so many stories to tell you that I once felt I could write a book. Maybe I should. Your show's excellent. I'm happy that you two had the wonderful idea to start this podcast with your sarcastic humor, Tony, and Jenny's nonchalant demeanor, which reminds me of the show that used to come on MTV called Daria. You two are perfect hosts. I'm going to become an EPP. As I said before, I'm binging off the pre-recordings, and as punishment to myself, I will not become an EPP until I have completed them, as I can hardly wait. Please don't ever stop this podcast.
I don't have really anything to add to that. That's a great story.
It's a creepy, creepy imagery there.
It is.
It's like, I'm picturing like the ghosts in the Haunted Mansion with no heads, essentially, dancing around. That's great. And two people saw it, so you kind of got some validation there that it wasn't just one person who...
And then the bodies were found.
Yeah. That's... God. Wow. I'm guessing like a jaded lover or something. Somebody was jealous of somebody there. Of either the man getting married or the woman getting married, and then that's the death. Considering it was their wedding night, and...
Yeah.
I'm going to the killer and trying to figure who the killer is.
It was probably too late to really figure that out.
Oh, sure.
So.
There you go. That's creepy.
Mm-hmm.
You ever Daria?
I don't.
You don't?
No.
Daria was, she wore glasses.
Okay.
It's kind of dorky, but very dry sense of humor. I get the reference.
Okay.
I do get the reference. It was on like, I'm trying to think, like it was the 90s. It was Beavis and Butthead era. Like probably toward mid to end of the Beavis and Butthead era. Probably around the time South Park started. So like 96, 97 ish.
Mm-hmm.
I think it probably ran, I don't know, 3-4 years. I never really watched it, but I remember all the previews for it. Like during TRL or something. And yes, I watched TRL every day.
Okay.
Not like, but I was in the radio studio and it was on the TV in front of me. But.
I'll have to Google it and see if it reminds me of anything.
You know what I hated about TRL was they always, did you ever watch TRL?
No,
I didn't. You didn't watch that every single day saying
never.
Who the latest song was going to have at number one?
Nope.
It was a horrible show because it made no sense. It was a music video show and it would show like 30 seconds of a music video. And then it would go back to Carson Daly and like a bunch of idiots. It was horrible. They tried to jam all these songs into like a half hour.
That's probably the reason nobody has attention spans anymore.
It is. It made no sense. Like, here's a number one video. And like, literally, there were some that probably ran for like 10 seconds. I'm not even kidding. It's like, what the hell? It was.
But yet you tuned in every day. What? And you have the worst attention span of anybody I've ever met.
Yeah, that's true.
So there you go.
It was something to watch. It was the music of high school. And I just remember it was on in my studio because I was doing an afternoon radio show on a rock station. But I was, I think on the back then it was like NSYNC and stuff that were quite popular in the day. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Michael writes in, "Hey guys, thanks again for the show. I really enjoy it. I've particularly enjoyed the interviews that you've had with authors and the mediums. It's all great stuff. And I'm jealous of what sounds like a cool studio that you have in the woods. Anyway, I sent a story in a while back about a haunted hotel experience I have a few years ago. I want to share another personal experience with you. This story goes back to the 90s when I was a young teenager. and a wonderful friend of whom I spent a lot of time with. My family life wasn't so great, so he and his dad let me practically live there. We passed the late early evening and morning hours down in his bedroom in the basement where he would play music, watch movies, play video games. He lived with his dad, and his dad worked graveyard, so apart from the cat, it was usually just my friend and me. Or was it? This is where, you know, you have to kind of break, I should break into the, or was it?
No.
The Dateline guy. When I first started hanging out at my friend's house, he mentioned to me that the place was haunted. He gave me a few examples of what he meant, but I really didn't believe him. After all, I'd never experienced, I had experiences with a paranormal before. As much as my imagination and I thought it would be cool if it was haunted, I remained very skeptical, but not for long. Almost the first week of being at this house, nothing peculiar happened. We would hear footsteps upstairs every now and then. I mean, legit footsteps. Then we started hearing knocking. Whenever we'd go upstairs to get some food or something, the cupboards would be opened, or the door to the garage would be open, and lights would be on where they were previously off. My friend would always respond with, "See? I told you so," kind of thing. These disturbances were so frequent that I got used to them and didn't really think twice about them, kind of like how my friend didn't really seem to mind them either. We weren't being bothered, so we just lived with it. And if you're wondering about the cat, he was usually in the bedroom with us. So, no, it wasn't the cat that we were hearing. Anyway, one morning, the alarm went off for me to go to school. My friend spoke to me from the other side of the room, telling me it was time to get up. So, being roused awake, I opened my eyes and let them adjust to the darkness of the room. I noticed a figure was in the room with us. It was just a dark shadow of an adult figure that quickly left the bedroom through the door. I just assumed it was my friend. But then I quickly realized that my friend's voice was coming from a different direction from the figure that I had seen leaving the bedroom. My friend, who was still in his bed, switched on his light. And from the look on he had in his face, we both knew we saw the same thing. We immediately ran out of the bedroom and searched the entire house from top to bottom in case it was a prowler. There was no sign of forced entry, and we were both bewildered. We both believed it to be the spirit or something out of this world. We, or at least I, never saw it again. We even brought friends over to sit in the dark room to see if we could see it, but we never had any luck. Anyway, it was interesting to have so many experiences within one home, which verified at least to me that there is something to be out there in the paranormal world. Incidentally, there was another night at this home that I was woken to a very strong sleep paralysis. It was around 3 a.m. So cliche, I know. I couldn't move. I couldn't even shout to my friend who was right next to me. It was one of the most frightening experiences I had ever had. Eventually got free and woke my friend. He didn't have a clue that I was grasping for words just moments before. I know some scientists think that sleep paralysis is a psychological phenomenon, but there's a big part of me that doesn't agree. I've never had sleep paralysis since. What do you guys think? Thank you for reading my story.
I think some are and some aren't.
Yeah. Just
because I have a hard time believing that so many people are seeing and having the same experience as far as, you know, the terrorizing and what's terrorizing them.
As far as it being nothing? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I think there some are, some aren't. It's just really kind of a matter of what's going on in the situation, what surrounds the situation outside of the experience. Some, I think, can be very terrifying but still be nothing more than our minds, and some can be very, very terrifying, and there's certainly something else to it. It's just very difficult to say in some cases without outside circumstances or evidence, if you will, to connect it.
Yeah.
What is what. So obviously you had something going on in the house, though.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it increases your odds for that to be more than just sleep paralysis. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. You've heard a lot of people talk about being an EPP. That's an extra podcast person. It's where you get an extra episode of our show every single week with the best stories that we've come across the week on. It's not a repeat of stories you've heard. They're all exclusive to the EPP episodes. And there's now like about 140 some of them that you can sit there and binge away on. On the website, ghostpodcast.com. Get all those episodes, exclusive video content, And even the new podcast that we're working on, Dream Meanings. You get access to that before that goes public as well. So lots and lots of our best material right there for you. And it's only $5 a month. And that's the main thing that supports this show and keeps it on the air. You guys supporting it with that $5 a month donation. Or you can sign up for a full year. We give you one of those months free and you get a bunk bed bell as well. So check it out at ghostpodcast.com. Next letter says, my maternal grandfather passed away unexpectedly from a massive heart attack at age 53 right after dinner on the evening of September 13th, 1979. He decided to relax on the couch rather than in his favorite chair in the den because he felt uncharacteristically unwell. Within minutes of reclining on the couch, he very calmly called out to my grandmother, who was still cleaning up in the kitchen, and told her that he felt funny, that his left arm had suddenly begun to feel sharply painful and sort of numb. She ran directly to the phone in the living room to call for an ambulance. The paramedics attempted CPR on the floor in the den and continued their efforts as his body was rushed to the hospital, where doctors continued to work on him. His heart never restarted. My grandmother said she was dead, or said he was dead by the time she rushed back to the den after quickly calling for help. She said that judging from the utter calm of my grandfather's voice and demeanor, she believed my grandfather knew he was dying. His own father had complained of the very same symptoms moments before he had collapsed dead on the dinner table on Christmas Day, 1931. My grandfather was a homebody who loved relaxing in his favorite chair in front of the television in the den. His favorite things to watch were sports of any sort, but he particularly loved football. My grandfather never missed watching a Monday night football game from the comfort of that recliner of his den. He was so fond of his favorite pastime that he continued with the tradition even after his death. Directly after my grandfather's death and continuing throughout the entire football season, the television in the den turned itself on to Monday night football games. Those were the days before remote controls. The only way to change the channel on the huge wood-encased television that took up half a wall in the den was to manually turn the knob. It was also in the days before cable vision was available in our small southern city, so to allow for good television reception, there was a huge metal aerial on the roof of the house that repositioned itself each time the channel was changed. My entire family watched in awe as the knob on the television itself switched to a football channel every Monday night, and the aerial on the roof repositioned itself accordingly. We'd take turns switching the channel to anything other than football. My grandmother stood outside watching the aerial turn accordingly. Then, to her, consternation repositioned itself again as we screamed through the back door of the den that the knob had indeed switched itself back to the football channel. My grandmother, a backwater Baptist, did not believe in ghosts. She believed we had either a television problem, an aerial problem, or a demon bent on messing with us. So she set out to address the problem. After twice replacing the den television and finally replacing the aerial, all of which were expensive attempts at solving the problem, we were still stuck watching Monday Night Football that entire season. After the Super Bowl, the problem abruptly ceased. It's not the end of the ghost story, though. Shortly after the football season had ended, I saw my grandfather walking through the hall on the other side of the house one evening when I was walking from the den to the kitchen towards the hall on my way to the bathroom. I was only 7 years old at the time, but I remember every detail of the experience. I just rounded and passed the stove, and there he was, wearing his work uniform, which is what he was wearing when he died. He was walking out of the bathroom, through the hall, and towards the living room, but his translucent figure disappeared as he reached the imaginary line that separated the living room from the hall. I was at first so excited to see him that I began to shout, "Papa!" But as I quickly realized I was seeing a ghost, I slurred the second syllable, turned around, and slammed my elbow into the corner of the oven handle as I tore back through the kitchen towards my ashen-faced grandmother and nearly faint mother. I remember describing to them everything I had just seen, then saying that I didn't think he liked the new living room furniture, since he'd gone invisible once entering the living room. That was the last experience any of us had of my grandfather's presence. To this day, my grandmother still believes the problem and the apparition were the work of a demon. But I know it was no demon, just my grandfather on his Monday night football obsession. I was very fond of my grandfather, and the events helped me not to have to grieve, but to gradually let go of him. Thank you for taking the time to read my story. I'm typing to you from my phone screen, which isn't particularly conducive to good writing, so I hope I've made sense. By the way, I love your guys' show.
I don't know how I'd feel about sharing the TV with somebody who's not around anymore. And then to try and replace the equipment, thinking that's what it was.
I think if you're back from the dead and you're watching television and it's pretty obvious who's watching television because it's like a routine type thing, mm-hmm. you just let them watch television. And you stop screwing with it. You're like, look, if you got this much, just go ahead. It's all yours. You do it.
So how many seasons, I wonder, did that go on?
I mean, it sounds like after the Super Bowl, it says it ended. So I'm wondering, did it occur the next season then,
that's
too?
That's what yeah. I mean. How many football seasons?
Yeah. I don't know. I remember having one of those. The way ours worked was if you wanted to change the antenna, the rotor is what we would call it, you would have to, it wouldn't just like happen by changing a channel. You would have to like get to the channel you want on the television, and then you had to know what direction the rotor needed to be in to pick up that channel.
Okay.
So if you wanted, like where we would mainly watch Green Bay stations, but see, face it north. You know, if you wanted Milwaukee stations, you face it the south, you know, and that's, you kind of the, you know, moving around to get to where you want it. And it wasn't like an instant thing either. I mean, it's like, everyone would like make this real, I can hear it in my head, this kind of like grinding sound as it turns, like, and then it would just slowly, this dot on this dial would show you where it was at, and it would finally stop. And then you, sometimes you had to adjust it a little bit more too, to get the better picture and signal. All the joys of watching television in the 70s and 80s that our children have no concept of.
So you guys never had one of the cable boxes where you had to literally go up and press down what channel button?
We had cable till I was three at the first house, and with that, it wasn't one of those button boxes. I know what you're talking about. We had the slider box.
Okay.
Where, you know what I'm talking about? It was like a little like plastic triangle almost that came up, mm-hmm. and then you slid it to, there was like one or like two to, I think it probably only went up to like 32 or something of the cable numbers, mm-hmm. and then you'd slide it back and forth, and that's how you got your cable channel.
See, as a preschooler, I could not resist hitting all
sure.
those buttons.
Yeah.
It was like a keyboard to
yeah.
me.
I would play with the, because after that we didn't have cable, so I would play with a rotor all the time, because it's kind of back in the corner behind my parents' fireplace, and I would play back in that corner quite often, mm-hmm. and when they were watching TV, and all of a sudden it'd be very much, and I can picture Harper, you know, us, you know, stop that, stop doing that. I would sit there and I'd turn the rotor when they're watching TV, like don't touch it.
Yeah,
and that was fun messing with that. The antenna's still up there. I wonder why. They don't really need it anymore. Because they got cable after I left.
Well, it's not real easy to just climb up there.
And knock it down? Not easy to take a larger tower? It's got to be like a lightning. It's essentially just inviting lightning into your home. But, I don't know. It'll probably be there forever. I should paint it colors. Just for fun.
Okay.
Just for fun. I don't know why, but glow in the dark. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. Aaron writes in. Hi, Tony and Jenny. My name is Aaron, and I live in Northern California. First, let me say that I love listening to you, so much so that I would still be an EPP member even if you never told another ghost story. I just love listening to YouTube banter. You've told several dream stories, so I thought I'd share one of mine. I'm not sure how you would classify my dreams, but over my lifetime, I have had several dreams that involve events that I later discovered happened somewhere in the world during the time I've slept. This includes dreams of earthquakes and tsunamis. These are dreams that are different from my normal dreams, and they're always very vivid, the ones that I remember in detail years later. One of the freakiest dreams I've had is what I believe to be the downing of Malaysia Airlines Flight 17. In this dream, I'm standing in a field of grass. I see white buildings off in the distance along with a grove of trees. I'm looking up at the sky when I see a helicopter, and it starts to fall from the sky and crashes. This happens again, and another helicopter, and a third helicopter. The next thing I see is an airline-sized jet. The jet has several large holes down the side of the plane. The flames and smoke are pouring out from these holes. Smoke and flame continue to pour out from the jet before breaking up and crashing to the ground. At this point, I wake up. I'm turning on my iPad to check the time, and it was sometime around 3:30 in the morning. I do not use an alarm clock, so every time I wake, I check the time, so I'll never be late for work. I'm lying awake for a while, thinking how strange to see a jet with holes on the side with flames and smoke. I've had dreams of plane crashes before, but the plane usually just falls to the ground and explodes. I It wasn't until later that afternoon did I hear about the downing of that flight on television. At first, I did not associate my dream with the event until I later heard that three helicopters had been shot down in the days prior to the downing of Flight 17. It was then that I checked the time the flight went down and compared to the time when I had my dream. The plane went down about 1:20 p.m. in the Ukraine, which is 3:20 California time. When I later saw pictures of the crash site, the area around the crash was very similar to the area in my dream. Large fields with white buildings and trees. Thanks for reading my story, Aaron.
I don't know how anybody that has premonitions of disasters like that gets past that.
Yeah.
I would be afraid every thought I would have, mm-hmm. not that the thoughts are controlling the events, but I'd be afraid that every thought I had was something that was about to happen.
Sure. Do you think when there's tragic events involving, you know, in this case, a lot of people, that happen and there's a lot of energy and attention put towards it, obviously, you know, insanely, you know, tragic and insanely emotional for anyone involved immediately with it, whether it be someone that was on that plane or their family members or things of that nature. But then also the way that we, you know, the world covers things now, you have the whole world instantly tuned in, you know, finding out about this, and bam, everyone knows about it. It's not like 2 days later in the newspaper, you're, oh, and everybody kind of is finding about it amongst everything else. It becomes a focal point for probably more powerfully than most stories, you know, have been 20 years ago, mm-hmm. you know, or 30 years ago. With that being said, and that essential wave of energy and consciousness of a single event, can that then be picked up by someone like this that may be more sensitive than others in the form of a dream?
Maybe.
Like, maybe is that why?
Like, it's a wave and it hits mm-hmm. her.
Like, maybe, exactly. And I'm wondering, you know, it's very difficult to say, did she dream about this before it happened, or did she dream about it after it happened as the general consciousness of the world was coming in tune to that event?
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm wondering about, and the sensitivity level that she has of being able to pick that up.
It's hard to know. It's impossible mm-hmm. to know.
It's like her rotor antenna was, I mean, it's kind of like that, you know, yeah. It's like wherever it's it was tuned in the right place at the right time and it picked up that signal, if you will. I don't know. It's something interesting to ponder. 855-853-4802 is our number. Sam writes in. My name is Sam. I'm a bassist in a Colorado country rock band. I travel a lot. I've been in numerous posts of the world, and I was born in Colorado, but I lived in Illinois for about 7 years. During that time, there was a lot of struggles with really bad energy, ranging from bad ghosts to straight-up demonic activity in some areas of my life. During this period, I was about 19, 23 now. I lived in my first apartment, a small studio in a kind of sketchy neighborhood on the edge of downtown area in a small town I lived in. Anyway, in the apartment complex I lived in, we lived across the hall. By we, I mean my then girlfriend and I from a
drug cooking and dealing prostitute.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah.
That's the neighbor?
That's the neighbor.
It's not exactly Wilson from...
No, not peeking over the fence with a plaid hat. No.
It often had men in and out of her place at all hours of the day. And and one would expect in such a crappy place, the building was old and rickety and the vines in this place were all whack. I'm not sure if you ever dealt with bad energy and bad beings in your lives, but we had something of a poltergeist with a bad attitude in the basement of the complex, a place that stayed locked always, and the landlord was afraid to go down there for any reason. The poltergeist often threw things across the room at night. You could tell it wasn't one of the strange men because the staircase was to the side of my apartment, and the incessant banging was from directly beneath us in the basement. And occasionally you heard chains rattling and clinking in the darkness underneath us. It was one night when my girlfriend and I were coming home from a party. We heard something that sounded kind of like a roar from the basement, and we heard something chasing us up the stairs. The basement door had a grid window in it, so we looked down the stairs and saw nothing. With the light in the foyer reaching down about to the eighth step, there was nothing to be seen charging at the door, but whatever it was reached the first step. As I looked down at the door and began to shake violently, like something was trying to open it, but unable to do so. My girlfriend told me she had seen a face in the window that looked absolutely terrifying, a black face with glinting sharp white teeth, something out of a possession story. That night changed the last 2 months of our occupancy for the worse. I'm not making this up. There were times when we'd watch TV and something in front of us would fly across the room, smash into the wall. Once it was a plate, and another time it had an evil eye that it threw at the door towards me. It was like it was taunting us. We had serious nightmares where we would wake up and not realize we'd been asleep. It was a truly terrifying experience. Eventually, we moved out of that horrible place, and she and I split up. The harrowing experience of that apartment complex has never been forgotten.
I can't imagine the kinds of bad energy that surrounds somebody with that kind of lifestyle. So who knows if that was somebody that, you know, was from previous or had to do with this person or, you know.
I'd imagine there's probably a lot of bad energy, not even just in that hallway.
Right.
You know, there's probably a lot of not so great things that were going on in that building. And it just became essentially like a big battery of bad things, of negativity.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of what you'd have then, how it would manifest itself. Thanks for sharing the story. Jackie writes in this one, my ghost story takes place in the northern suburbs of Chicago in 2012 after my Uncle Joe, grandfather, passed away. When I was 21, he was diagnosed with lung cancer. The news hit me really hard because of how close we were. The doctors had told both him and my aunt to enjoy their time together, which basically meant it was not good. He ended up being with us for 2 more years, becoming cancer-free until a strawberry-sized tumor was found in his brain. The next 9 months were very hard due to complications during the tumor removal. He had a stroke after surgery, which left him unable to speak and paralyzed his entire right side. Sadly, his life came to an end, which we were all expecting, yet devastated. A few months passed by when my aunt had asked my sister and I to house-sit and take care of the cat while her and my cousins went to the Dells for a few days to clear their minds. The Dells have always been a special place for our family to go, which is where my uncle proposed to my aunt. And in 2013, I met my boyfriend there. Coincidence? Besides that, little piece of info, we invited a friend and her sister to hang out and sleep over that night. So while we were waiting for them, we went upstairs to grab nail polish remover from my aunt's bathroom located in her bedroom that my uncle renovated for them. He put a heat lamp in the bathroom, which I knew they turn off by themselves like 10 to 15 minutes after being turned on. Well, we were all there less than 2 minutes, and the light turned off naturally. We screamed our heads off and darted downstairs. We calmed down and told our friends about it, so we, of course, went back upstairs and turned the light on, and to our surprise, it shut off less than a minute after it was on. Again, we screamed and ran downstairs. I actually pushed everyone out of the way to get the hell out. Anyway, we started to paint our nails in front of the TV, which we put on mute because we were chatting. I had my nail polish lined up and ready to use. In mid-sentence, the TV went into full blast volume without anyone touching a button. For some reason, I was frozen with a big wave of heat going through my body, and I felt really tingly. It felt like it lasted forever until I finally snapped out of it. I had to catch my breath. Nobody else noticed or reacted. I made us go outside for a little bit after that. We ended up not talking about it and had the rest of our night and went to bed upstairs in their giant California king. I did not sleep that night because I could feel his presence in the room with us. A few more occurrences have happened with my aunt, which continue. It isn't scary. It's more calming to know he's still around. Let me know what you guys think. I'd have called the story in, but I ended up in tears by the end. Like right now, thanks for the outlet for the paranormal and thanks for the outlet of the paranormal to make it normal. I like that.
I guess, to me, it would make it less frightening to know who it is, but it doesn't sound like it in this case. It sounds like it just was a frightening experience anyway.
Yeah, I think it's kind of absorbing it. If it's your first time having the paranormal experience, I think it's going to be frightening. But then once you kind of start to understand who it is and why it is going on, then that's where kind of the calmness comes in. But sometimes you need to take the moment to digest that first.
Mm-hmm.
Those, I remember those old heat lamps. Do they still, people still put those in?
I don't know. I think so.
They're really popular like in like 70s homes.
Yeah.
Weren't they? Even in some 80s homes, I remember them being there.
I think so. I don't know. I think everybody's going to look back on the heated floors and be like, oh, that was such a 90s and 2000s thing. Or do you think they're going to continue doing that forever?
I don't know. I've never had a heated floor. I didn't even know it was a concept until you told me about it like several years ago when we had a switch in the bathroom. We're like, what does this do? And then we figured like, oh, this is not that. This is just for the water temperature.
Yeah.
But I didn't even know that that existed. Mm-hmm. Is it someone who has one? Did you ever have one?
No, I never had one. I thought it would be handy.
Yeah.
Every time I was dealing with morning sickness because of the fact I would just like hang out on the floor until I felt better.
I could see that if that's the case. But honestly, like my biggest complaint coming out of the shower or something is not usually the floor. I mean, I'm usually, you know, what is the point of the heated floor other than just keep your feet warm?
Yeah, it's just for it to be warm and it kind of radiates heat up into the room.
So it kind of helps all around, I see.
I mean, it doesn't provide a ton of heat. It's not going to hurt your feet, but anytime you've got a warm surface, a little bit of that radiates up.
Can you control the heat on that? Like if you wanted to, could you potentially make an egg on your floor?
No, I don't think so. They have limits on how much you can do because you don't want to set your house on fire.
Yeah, I would think so. You know, pop a couple eggs on the tile, jump in the shower, come out, and your eggs are done.
That would be like a Final Destination thing. You get stuck in the bathroom and the floor's like
you get
sizzling
cooked,
and you just cook on your floor.
And then that would be a horrible one. Especially it's like, hey, we haven't seen the neighbor for a long time, and then they find you still sizzling.
And you're essentially a pig skin in the bathroom.
And on that note, that wraps up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, help keep us on the air. Become an EPP, extra podcast person at ghostpodcast.com. Don't miss Jenny's recipe for people pigskins. It's kind of disturbing. It's kind of like the Manson cookbook or something. That's just messed up.
Thanks.
All right, there you go. Check it out, ghostpodcast.com. Help us stay on the air. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.